The first reading today, while the obvious point of it is that it is talking about Moses, we also have to look today as to why the church would apply this to Saint Joseph. And certainly we could talk about the fact he's beloved of God and men, whose memory is held in benediction. We go down a little bit further though, and we hear that God sanctified him in his faith and meekness, chose him out of all flesh. Certainly this is Saint Joseph, sanctified, one of the most holy people to ever walk the face of this earth, and consequently one of the highest in heaven, someone who is meek. This man is so amazing that not only does he not get angry, but just the humility of this man. To think about the fact that he loved the hidden life so much that we don't even have a single word of his in sacred scripture. He is there, but he's put himself in the background. And the Holy Spirit, obviously, who inspired the scriptures, made sure that that was exactly the way it stayed. Not out of any kind of negative point regarding Saint Joseph, but rather to help us to be able to recognize the extraordinary nature of this man, who didn't put himself forward for anything. The only thing he was interested in was doing God's will. And that was what he was all about. And so he just lived a quiet, hidden life. And because of this, as it says, God chose him out of all flesh. Out of all of humanity, God chose Saint Joseph to be the father to his own son. Think about the extraordinary nature of this man. If you were going to say, okay, I have this child, and I am going to entrust this child to one person on the face of the earth, you're going to be rather careful about who you're going to choose? Now, what if you're God, and you're saying, I am sending my son, who is God, into the world with a human nature, and I'm going to choose one man out of the entire earth to be a father to him? Do you think God's going to be rather careful about who he chooses? Well, we've already heard he was sanctified, he was meek, he was humble. The charity of this man is extraordinary. Everything about this man is extraordinary. Now, while this point refers only to Moses, he heard him in his voice and brought him into a cloud, it is actually even more so for Saint Joseph. Not only did he hear the voice of God spoken day by day by day by his own son, but he was brought into something far greater than the cloud, the Shekinah, the glory cloud, that same cloud that overshadowed our Blessed Lady at the time that she conceived. Saint Joseph is brought now into the very mystery of what happened in that conception. The angel appears and reveals to him that the child in our Blessed Lady's womb is by the Holy Spirit. And so we are told what the essence of this entire thing is. People get so confused when they read this passage from St. Luke's Gospel, but the angel says to Joseph, "Do not be afraid." Why would he be afraid? So in other words, the angel didn't say, look, don't be upset. Mary didn't commit adultery. You don't need to be angry. You don't need to be questioning. You don't need to be doubting. No, that's not what he said. He said, do not be afraid. There wouldn't be fear if that's what he was thinking. It would be fear because he would think that he was doing the wrong thing. He knew the holiness of Our Lady, and he knew that Our Lady had already made a vow of virginity, and we do have contracts from back then of the virginal marriages because women didn't have any rights unless they were married, and so there were contracts that were set up for these couples to be married, but they would live a virginal marriage. So that even isn't anything that was out, well, it's not normal, obviously, it's not typical, but it's not unheard of back then. So the point is that St. Joseph is looking at this saying, am I doing God's will? All he wanted was to do God's will. He had such a profound love for our Blessed Lady. I mean, again, this is her husband. There is no one on the face of the earth other than Jesus himself who loved our Blessed Lady more than St. Joseph. And with that immense love, can you imagine if he thought for a split second that he may have been doing something that was wrong, something that was not proper toward her, not anything impure, anything like that, but just she was God's. And that he would have the audacity to get in the way. He thought he was doing something good. Maybe he wasn't. And so the angel came to bring peace to St. Joseph's heart, but also to be able to bring him into that mystery of the incarnation. So it's not only to be able to look and say that this extraordinary woman who is your wife, what you're doing is correct and fine and good, but now I'm going to bring you into an even bigger mystery, an infinite mystery. You're going to meditate on this for the rest of your life and for the rest of eternity, and you're never going to come to understand it fully. And not only did St. Joseph have to say yes to the fact that he was doing the right thing and doing God's will by being married to our Blessed Lady, he had to say yes to the mystery that was happening right inside of her womb, that was going to be happening inside of his own house. And he was going to be a part of this mystery, to be a father to this child. It was to this that he had to say yes. Again, think about the humility of somebody looking at this and saying, wait a minute, this child is God. And I, a sinner, am going to be as a father to him? God is my father. Who am I to be a father to this child? And yet he would say yes to that because he knew it to be God's will. That's the extraordinary nature of the man we're talking about today. That's why the church brings forth solemnity in the midst of Lent. To be able to say that we're going to put Lent on hold for a moment, for a day you can celebrate and glorify God because God has glorified St. Joseph. And we're going to remember that, and we're going to celebrate that as we ought. Because God is the one who celebrated St. Joseph. So for all of us to be able to look at those same questions with regard to ourselves, do we have that kind of love for God? Are we seeking only his will? Do we have that love for our Blessed Lady? Do we have that love for Jesus that St. Joseph had? And think about that household. You know, the old saying is that it's impossible to live with a saint. Well, now try living with the woman who is infinitely, well, almost infinitely, above every other saint. Saint Joseph had to be really, really holy in order to be in that family. And he was. This wasn't just some ordinary guy that just kind of got co-opted into this. God formed him and prepared him to be able to do this. And so we have to be able to see what the Lord is doing in St. Joseph's life. And then we have to look at it and recognize he's working in our lives too. He's forming us to do what it is that he wants us to do. Are we cooperating? Are we honestly, truly seeking his will? Are we striving for that humility and that charity which so characterized St. Joseph? These are the kinds of questions each one of us can be looking at. And ask St. Joseph for help in his quiet way, in his humble way, he's going to be there. He proved himself. He is faithful. So faithful that once again, out of all of humanity, God could choose him. We have to be able to say, and granted, the circumstances haven't repeated themselves, but I think it's pretty fair to say that there has never been another one like him in the 2,000 years that have passed since. No one has been raised up like this man. So he really is someone who's extraordinary, someone who is extraordinarily faithful, someone who is extraordinarily charitable. The kind of love with which he loved our Blessed Lady and our Blessed Lord, and you are a member of Jesus, he's going to love you the same way. So turn to him, especially these days, for the moms, pray for your sons. Manhood is obviously under attack. For the men, pray to Saint Joseph. He's a real man, a real man. We have to learn from him what it means to be truly a man. And not just to be a man, but as it says of Saint Joseph, a just man, a holy man, a righteous man. That's what God wants from each one of us. But we can't be a righteous man until we're men first. So in this society that has decided it doesn't need men, and that men ought to be like women, and that women ought to be like men, which is gross, let's get things back where they belong. And it needs to start with the men being who they are called to be, because everything else has to fall into proper order. If there is a headship that men have, and there is, which is, again, not something that's liked or accepted in our society. If there's something wrong with the head, there's something wrong with everything else. And if the head's not in the right place, nothing else in the body's going to be in the right place. So within society, within the church, men have to take their rightful and proper place so that everything else can be in its proper place. How can the heart do what it's supposed to do, which is the women, if the head isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing? This is what we learn in the Holy Family. Saint Joseph was the least in the Holy Family, and he was the head. So we're not saying the head is better or greater or higher. We're saying there is a different role. And even though he was the only one with sin, even though he was the least holy of the three, he was the head. Our Lady was the heart. And they lived that perfectly. That's what God is calling all of us to, not only in marriage, in the church, in society. So it needs to start with the head getting put back on where it belongs, so that everything else then can follow where it belongs.